There is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. Does that sound ridiculous? Nevertheless, no matter how it sounds, the command of Scripture is explicit. Rejoice. How often? Always.
If the Bible says, rejoice always, and that's exactly what it says, does it also explain how to pull that off? What does it take to be joyful, content, even thankful, in a less than joyful situation, maybe like one you're facing right now? Focus on those questions with John MacArthur today as he continues his study, The Bible-Driven Church, here on Grace to You. Before the lesson, let me stop and mention something we're seeing at the headquarters these first few days of January. It's something we're not only thanking God for, but we've got others to thank as well. And particularly, John, you want to be the one who offers that word of thanks.
We can't do it often enough, Phil, and that's why we're kind of circling back on this. But we need to say thank you to the people who supported us. As I've said before, we come into this year having been gone for a few days of break, and we're always greeted by a massive amount of mail. And as we spend a few days going through all of that and read all the wonderful notes and testimonies and then begin to collect all the support that's come in at the end of the year, we're just staggered at the amazing outpouring of love and trust from God's people. We see that not only as an expression of love, but as a mandate, really, to keep doing what we've been doing. And you expect that. The giving is in a sense, the future. I mean, you're giving to this ministry not for us to accomplish something in the past, but so that we can continue to do what we're doing in the future. So, in fact, this ministry has never, in all the years that we've been a part of it, gone to our listeners to say, we didn't have enough money to do what we did in the past. We had to go into debt or we had to borrow money. That's never happened. We've always lived within the means that God gives us. We've always stayed within the resources that God's people give. So we've never created any kind of debt. So when you give to the ministry, you're funding the future. You're driving us forward. And that's an incredibly wonderful thing. And as this ministry grows, it grows because there are more and more people who see this as necessary in the future. I don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but it's going to have its difficulties. That's for certain. People are going to need the Word of God. They always do. And especially in difficult times, our world is in difficult times. We're so happy to be there, and we're happy that you make it possible by your gift. So we say a great big thank you to all of you.
Yes, thank you, friend. Even if 2021 has as many difficulties as 2020, we'll be here strengthening people with biblical truth as long as the Lord permits. And your generosity is a big reason we can encourage believers not just in the U.S., but around the world. Again, thank you for your support. And now keep it here as John shows you the many reasons God's people have to rejoice at all times. Here's the lesson.
It is our great privilege to return to our wonderful study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I invite you to take your Bible, if you will, and open to that great chapter. I want to preach on just one verse, verse 16. A verse with only two words. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 simply says, rejoice always. And I want to use that as a beginning point to speak on the subject of Christian joy. Now, you know this is part of a larger series. Starting in chapter 5, verse 12, we began to discuss this matter of growing a healthy flock. Paul, concerned about the health of the flock in Thessalonica, gave the instruction about how the sheep are to treat the shepherds and how the shepherds are to treat the sheep, and then how the sheep are to treat the sheep. And now he comes to a new relationship, not the relationship of sheep to shepherd or sheep to sheep, but the relationship of sheep to great shepherd. And here we get into a look at the inner life of the believer. If the flock is to be healthy, not only does the relationship between shepherd and sheep have to be right, between sheep and sheep, but between sheep and the great shepherd. Our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Himself, must be right. And so, beginning in verse 16 and flowing down through verse 22, the Apostle Paul gives a series of exhortations that deal with the believer's inner life, our relationship to God Himself. He begins with those two brief words, rejoice always. The discussion of Christian joy is, of course, crucial and essential to all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ. Much can be said, much should be said, much has been said. But I want to begin our study today with a statement that may surprise you. In fact, it may appear hard, if not impossible, to believe. Then I want to tell you why that statement is true and teach you its significance and its application. Here is the statement. There is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. Let me say that again. There is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. In fact, let me go even further than that. If there is an event or circumstance apart from sin that does diminish your joy, you have sinned. You have sinned. Does that sound ridiculous? Given the woes and the pains and the difficulties of life? Nevertheless, no matter how it sounds, the command of Scripture is explicit. Rejoice. How often? Always. Any failure to do that constitutes disobedience and sin. Therefore, we can say that there is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. It will, if we react improperly to it. Now, how can we so live? How can we so live that we rejoice always? How can we live in undiminished joy? How can we transcend all events and all circumstances that occur so that nothing touches our joy? That's really what we're after today in this study. Let's begin with the command itself. Rejoice always. And make the note initially that this is not the only place that such a command is enjoined upon us. Joy is discussed both in the Old and the New Testament, and there are numerous locations in Scripture where similar commands are given, not the least of which would be Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. It's almost as if he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and then knows someone will say, except, and so he says, again I will say, rejoice. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter says, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. We are commanded to keep on rejoicing, to rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. And so the command here in verse 16 is consistent with other portions of Scripture and other injunctions. Paul, in writing to the Colossians in chapter 1, said that if I have to give my life getting the gospel to you, I rejoice. James says, when you fall into various trials, count it all joy. Peter says essentially the same thing in 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. No, serious problems in life, serious trouble and pain does not rescind the command to incessant, unending, ceaseless joy. And Scripture further says our joy is to be great. Our joy is to be abundant. Our joy is to be exceeding. Our joy is to be animated, Psalm 32:11. Our joy is to be unspeakable. Our joy is to be full of glory. Our joy is to be with awe. And so we are to rejoice always. Now, at this point, I need to say something, and it is this. Such joy is not natural. So if you're saying that's impossible, what he's saying is impossible. It can't be done. You're right from the human viewpoint. It is not natural. It is, however, supernatural joy. And that's the kind of joy we're talking about. We're not talking about happiness, which comes from happenings or happenstance, or because something just happens to be good. We're not talking about a shallow, superficial, emotional response to positive circumstance. We're talking about not a natural joy, but a supernatural joy. It is a joy at another level. It's a divine level. That is why it says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second one? Joy. That is why in Romans 14, you have in verse 17 that marvelous statement that the kingdom is made up of joy in the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual joy. It is a Holy Spirit joy. It is a supernatural joy. So we are commanded to rejoice at all times, and then we are instructed that it is not natural. It is not normal. It is supernatural. It is a ministry. It is a gift. It is a product. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, someone will immediately then say, well, if it is not natural and not normal and doesn't rise out of my own humanness and I have to depend upon the Spirit of God to produce it, then why am I being commanded to rejoice? If it's the Spirit's work, why is He commanding me to rejoice? And the answer is the same answer you have to give in all those aspects of Scripture which involve human volition. Every command in the New Testament is a command toward holiness, which can only be produced by God. Every command of the believer is a command to holiness, which can only be produced by God, and yet my will is involved in that. And so while joy is a product of the Spirit of God, it is not bypassing my volition. It is not bypassing my will. The Holy Spirit gives this supernatural Christian joy. It is spiritual, it is supernatural, it is divine. It is a work of God in the inner man. Yet I must exercise my will over the flesh for that Holy Spirit work to take place. I must be involved. It is a work of God, but not without my will. The experience of Christian joy flows from God through the Spirit, and then it has to flow through me. So, first of all, we are commanded to unceasing joy. Secondly, we acknowledge that it is not natural, it is supernatural, the work of the Spirit. But thirdly, it demands the cooperation of my will. Now, that should lead us to a definition. What kind of joy are we talking about? Now, if my will's got to be involved in it, what is it? The Holy Spirit certainly doesn't need it defined. He knows, but I'm not sure I do. So if I have to get my will activated in this process, what is the joy by definition that I'm looking for? Now, listen very carefully. This is the heart of what I'm going to say. Here's the definition. Christian joy is the emotion springing from the deep down confidence of the Christian that God is in perfect control. Let me say that much again. Christian joy is the emotion springing from the deep down confidence of the Christian that God is in perfect control of everything and will bring from it our good in time and our glory in eternity. Let me say that again. Christian joy is the emotion springing from the deep down confidence of the Christian that God is in complete and perfect control of everything, and will bring from it our good in time and our glory in eternity. That's Christian joy. Christian joy is not an emotion on top of an emotion. It is not a feeling on top of a feeling. It is a feeling on top of a fact. It is an emotional response to what I know to be true about my God. That's the substance of it. All of us should be in the habit of constantly expressing joyful wonder when we contemplate the unchanging, eternal relationship with God that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, follow the sequence. We are to rejoice all the time. That is not normal, that is not natural, that is supernatural. It is a work of the Spirit of God, but it demands our will. If our will is to be activated in it, we have to know what we're talking about. And what we're talking about starts with a deep down confidence that God is in control of everything and He is working it for our good in time and our glory in eternity. If I can fix that great reality in my mind, then I have that deep down base off of which my Christian joy can spring. All right? So much for an understanding of the command then. Now I want to take you into building that base. That deep down confidence. But I want to approach it from the standpoint of the question, why? Somebody says, rejoice always, and somebody will always say, why? Like the little kids. Why? Why do I have to do that? Let me give you some reasons to motivate your obedience to this command. And the very reasons that I'm going to give you will help lay the foundation of confidence. Okay? Why should I obey the command to always rejoice? I've got problems in my life. I've got difficulties. Things aren't going the way I want. I don't have the job I want. I don't have the circumstances I want. It's not all the way I like it. Why should I rejoice always? Reason number one, as an act of appreciation for the character of God. As an act of appreciation for the character of God. Oh, this is so important. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, listen to verse 10. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, that having to do with a feast Solomon set, on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people to their tents, rejoicing and happy of heart because of the goodness that the Lord had shown. See, that's where it starts. My joy starts in the character of God. A happy heart, a rejoicing heart because of the goodness that the Lord has shown. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and with my song I shall thank Him. Where's the joy coming from? Your circumstances? No, no. My God, He's my strength. He's my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped. My joy begins in the character of my God, independent of my circumstances. In Psalm 71, 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. When I think about what You've done for me, and I start to praise You, I'm filled with joy. In Psalm 89, and verse 16, and we can't obviously look at all of the possibilities. In Thy name they rejoice all the day. I just love that. What are they rejoicing in Thy name? What does He mean, Thy name, Thy character? Because of who God is. Because of what He's done. Isaiah 61:10 says He's clothed us with the robes of righteousness. In the New Testament, I cannot resist a reference to Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Is that marvelous? God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's because He is a sovereign, gracious, loving, merciful, compassionate God. Rejoice in that. That's the ground of your joy. The character of God. The character of God. That's where it all has to start. In Nehemiah, one more verse, 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." When you learn to joy in who God is, you become strong. Second, another reason for rejoicing always is as an act of appreciation for the work of Christ. Not only as an act of appreciation for the character of God, but as an act of appreciation for the work of Christ. Stop to realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, though you be utterly and completely unworthy, undeserving. That is why the angel said in Luke 2:10, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." What is it? A Savior. The Savior brings joy. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, another text of Scripture, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus said, "that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Everything I say, everything I do is to produce joy for you. For you. Paul, writing in that great fifth chapter of Romans, talks about the redemptive work of Christ, His atonement on the cross, and he says it is in this great work of Christ that we exult, that we rejoice. In fact, in Philippians 3:3, Paul says that a Christian is one who worships in the Spirit of God and rejoices in Christ Jesus. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what your problems are. I don't care what the difficulties are. You have an eternal salvation produced in the wonderful work of Jesus Christ and granted to you through the sovereign choice of God. And in those matters, you can rejoice. Listen to 1 Peter 1:8. "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Why? Because you have salvation, he says in the next verse. Thirdly, rejoice always not only as an act of appreciation for the character of God and the work of Christ, but as an act of appreciation for the ministry of the Spirit. As an act of appreciation for the ministry of the Spirit. Back to Romans 14:17, "You have joy in the Holy Spirit." It is the Spirit of God who's producing love and joy. He is interceding for you constantly with groanings which cannot be uttered, so that your otherwise wayward prayers are brought to conform to the will of God, Romans 8 says. He is the one at work in you to make things produce divine purpose and goal. The Spirit is the one who links you to Christ and is the guarantee of your future inheritance. He seals you. He indwells you. He fills you for service and power. He enables you. He gifts you. Out of appreciation to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we should rejoice always. Nothing can touch the character of God and diminish it. Nothing can touch the work of Christ and diminish it. Nothing can harm the work of the Spirit of God. It will accomplish its purpose. The triune God is at work, and that is plenty of reason for unceasing joy. And now let me move in this little list from the workers, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to the work they're doing. Here's some more reasons for joy. Number four, as an act of appreciation for spiritual blessings. As an act of appreciation for spiritual blessings. Stop to think about the fact that you, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Stop to think that you have all things pertaining to life and godliness. Stop to think that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and you are complete in Him. Stop to think that you have become partakers of the divine nature. Stop to think that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Stop to think that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is no end to the continual flow of gracious blessing in your life, and that is reason enough for unceasing joy. Number five. We ought to rejoice always as an act of appreciation for divine providence. As an act of appreciation for divine providence. What is providence? I've taught that before. I only remind you, providence is a term used to describe God's ability to orchestrate the innumerable contingencies that exist in the universe and make them all work together for your good in time and your glory in eternity. God literally orchestrates every single piece of space, matter, time, force, and energy so that it all congeals in a perfect plan and purpose. Every thought, every word, every act by every being that exists, every natural, every supernatural thing moves together to fit the perfect plan of God, even though from their own viewpoints there are an innumerable number of independently acting agencies. Simply stated, it's summed up in these words, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. No matter what's going on in your life, there ought to be unceasing thanks and joy over the divine providence as God orchestrates everything for your good and eternal glory. God, the God who is able to keep you from falling, who holds you fast.
This is Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for being with us. John is Chancellor of the Masters University and Seminary. His current study is titled The Bible-Driven Church. And now, friend, before too much of the year goes by, let me suggest you get a copy of the MacArthur Daily Bible. It will take you verse by verse through the entire Bible in a year. It's a great resource for anyone who wants to read God's Word more consistently in 2021. To order the MacArthur Daily Bible, contact us today. Call toll-free 800-55-GRACE or go to our website, gty.org. Each day, the MacArthur Daily Bible gives you a portion of Scripture to read from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the Psalms, and from the Proverbs. It's also a great tool to use for family devotions. Again, to order the MacArthur Daily Bible, call 800-55-GRACE or go to our website, gty.org. And remember, there are thousands of resources available for free at gty.org. You can read helpful articles on the Grace to You blog or listen to radio broadcasts that you may have missed or download more than 3,500 of John's sermons in MP3 or transcript format. Again, the blog, sermons, and more are free at gty.org. And to connect with Grace to You on social media, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Now for John MacArthur and the Grace to You staff, I'm Phil Johnson. Thanks for tuning in today, and be here tomorrow when John looks at things that hinder godly joy and what you can do about them. He's continuing his study on the Bible-driven church with another 30 minutes of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Wednesday's Grace to You.